Hare Krishna, so very, very happy to be with all of you, and we thank the management of Bhaktivedanta Manor for giving us this chance. I don't see a better example of how well guests are encouraged like us when we come here, and they engage us in so much wonderful service. It's very, very encouraging. So it is already so wonderfully followed at the Bhaktivedanta Manor. It is a wonderful classical temple of practical how guests are treated. Very, very encouraging. So, a very interesting topic, something that is an integral part of our culture. I don't know much about here, but in India, earlier, this was when I was a child, we used to have practically every house. They used to have a plaque outside. Atithi Devo Bhava and Shubh Labh. There was a plaque practically every house. If you go back into early 70s, 80s, this was the plaque every practical house would have. Atithi Devo Bhava and Shubh Labh. So that means let all Shubh Labh, all the benefits come to the people in the house. And Atithi Devo Bhava, all guests are most welcome. They'll be treated as God. And what has happened now? And now we have, be aware of dogs. Practically every place that we go, you know, there is nothing like Atithi Devo Bhava, no Shubh Labh, be aware of dogs. Now this shift is very much clearly a signal of how much we have changed in our culture. So we were, you know, it is a power of time. As we all know, the time has this powerful energy effect of degrading everything. Mand sumanda matayor mand bhagya upadrita. It is said that as the time progresses, everything becomes degraded. And what becomes the most degraded is our culture. And I was just sharing with Sundar Govind Prabhu Haripriya and their family members, Kishori, that when we were young, it was just, and I'm sure all of you will share the same, and not, it is not just Indian culture, as this is practically a culture which was present everywhere, that we would just go to a relative's house and or friend's house, and you know, it was such, we were so much wonderfully welcomed. And I remember going to my aunt's place, what we call Mama, going to her house. I would love the way she would cook her dal. And the moment I would go there, there would always be a container of dal for me with a smile, not a grumpy face. Oh, again, yes, come, my God. Never. I mean, I never experienced, and I remember it was, because there were no phones in India. There was not so many phones. I'm talking about, you know, 70s. There was no phones that you call up and go. We would just go there and we would be welcomed. Right? But now, if you just see the change which has happened, and not that a long amount of time has passed, it has just been two and a half, three decades that has passed, but now it is so much a system that if you go unannounced, then you are actually considered to be uncivilized. Yes? I mean, it is so much as, oh, this person just came without telling. I mean, it is quite strange. Is he not a gentleman? Doesn't he have a gentlemanly attitude to at least tell? And then when we are calling people and we say that, well, we are coming. Okay, what time are you coming? I say around 8 o'clock, 8 or 8:30. I said, that's good. I mean, but I said, and how many hours will you be at our home, by the way? And this is not something which I'm saying a hypothetical situation. It is the way conversations happen. And then the person who is coming, he said, don't worry about prasad. We will carry our own prasad. And we have something that's called potluck. Is that? I mean, first time I heard it in this country, to be honest. Potluck means, that means we will get prasad. So don't worry about prasad. This was never a talk when it was the earlier days. It was, prasad was never a discussion. It was never a burden. Right? But now, oh, he's coming. What will he eat? What will I serve? What will I do? There's so much of anxiety, so much of discussion on this, right? So what has happened really, my dear friends, is that there's been a systematic decline in our culture. And the culture of Atithi Devo Bhava. It is, it's just remained in sentence. And we are, it is very nice that we have picked up this topic and discussing. But in one sense, you know, there was not never a need to have a lecture on Atithi Devo Bhava, because it was an integral part of our living. I mean, nobody gave a lecture on Atithi Devo Bhava because it was just the way we grew up, isn't it? But now, I mean, it is nice because it never happens, but that's the situation we are in. So that's what the situation we are in, and that's why we need to really understand what exactly is this Atithi Devo Bhava. It is a very, very important part of Grihastha culture. What I see here is most of the people are in the Grihastha ashram. It is a very integral part of the Grihastha culture, because Grihastha, Griha mein aastha rakhne wale vyakti ko Grihastha, means person who has aastha in the Griha is called a Grihastha. And why is it called a ashram? Because ashram is usually very much synonymous, very much used when there's some austerity, right? Ashram means some austerity. And Grihastha ashram is all about austerity. It's all about taking care of things which may not be so easy. So obviously, raising children, taking care of our elderly parents, you know, having guests coming to our house may obviously not be very, very easy. And obviously, Grihastha have certain austerities to perform. It may not be very easy. And that is why, the reason why it is called the Grihastha ashram is because there is amount of austerity involved in that ashram. And the austerity is that we are happy to serve in any situation of life. We have so many wonderful stories. And the unfortunate part is that we love to hear these stories. And you know, we just obviously say that, oh, this is such a beautiful story. What a lofty idea. But it just remains a story. I was just reminded of this very interesting story when the Pandavas, you know, they were on the forest with their mother Kunti, and they reached a place called Ekachakra, which is of course very special for us because it's also the birthplace of Nityananda Prabhu, a couple of hundred years later. So they were in Ekachakra, and you know, they were just roaming mendicants. Nobody knew that they were Pandavas. They were just roaming as ordinary mendicants, in brahmanas. So they came and they were staying at a house, and there was so much a relationship between a atithi and the host that they became an integral part of the family. I mean, it was not that, you know, the person has come, oh, so please be comfortable, we'll give a food to eat, and then person goes. They stayed for many, many days or maybe months, right? And the happiness of the family was in how the guests are happy, and the happiness of the guests is to see how the family was happy. And that's why Kunti asked that, I don't see you people very happy. What happened? Kunti Maharani asked. I said, oh, what's to say? There is a demon here of the name Bakasur. And every day somebody has to go with a truckload of food. And it is the turn of my son to go. So Kunti didn't say, oh, well, that's your problem. You know, we are just guests after all. I mean, sorry to hear that, but you know, what can we do? Right? She, as a guest, she saw it that this is not their problem, but we are part of the whole family now because we are staying with them. There was nothing to do. There was no relationship. There were no relatives at all. They were just pure guests. What did Kunti Maharani do? Without even thinking, she just said, don't worry, my son will go. You don't have to really trade your son for this. My son will go. And Bhima was very happy. I'm sure you all know. I said, wow, that's a great, great thing. Because Bhima was starving. I mean, you all know what would happen, that they would collect, and you know, they would collect and they would make two portions, right? The one portion would be eaten by the five of them, and that is the four brothers and Kunti Maharani. Another portion would be eaten by Bhima himself, and still it was just too much of a problem for him because it was just too less, because his name is Vrikodar, a wolf belly. So he had a huge appetite to eat. So when he saw that there was a whole truckload of food, he said, Jai, mother, all glories to you. This is wonderful service. As we said in Gujarati, Bhautu tu ne vaide kidu. Those who are Gujaratis wouldn't understand that. I liked a food and the doctor advised the same food. What a wonderful situation. Right? The Bhima said, well, I love to go. And it was, by the way, a wonderful service. So he just went. of course, we all know what happened. He just completely finished the food, and this Bikasur was in trouble. But that's not the point of discussion here. The point is that how the family so much integrated with as guests. It was never a separation. So it is explained in the Shastras. It is written here in the Srimad Bhagavatam 8.16.7. That is the 8th canto, 16th chapter, 7th verse. Homes from which guests go away without having been received even with the offering of a little water are like those holes in the field which are homes for jackals. And this is a verse, and Prabhupada says very clearly that, you know, when in the jungles you see holes, sometimes there's holes are usually because of snakes and mice. And sometimes, you know, the jackal, you know, makes the mice and snakes run away, and then he makes a bigger hole and he goes into the jackal. Prabhupada says that no one would take shelter in such holes where jackals are staying. So the house, it is explained, where the guest goes without being satisfied. Now, my dear friends, this is not just for mentioning in Bhagavatam and giving a class on it and talking about it. It means we need to practice it ourselves. What does it mean? I mean, are we wanting to stay in holes where, which is like a jackal hole? No, so that is what is the importance of guests, serving guests, to be pleasing the guests. That's the culture. Because guests coming unannounced is nothing but a mercy of the Lord. The Lord is trying to see how we serve an unannounced guest. What is our attitude towards unannounced guest? Because, as a matter of fact, we are getting prepared, because there's two very important things that will happen in our life. Will also come unannounced. There'll be atithis. What are these two things? Jara, vyadhi, and mrityu. And jara, we know, we'll become old. But vyadhi and mrityu, and that's a training on how we are going to welcome this guest. And they will not stay for long, especially the mrityu one. He will come and he will going to see. Right? So this is a training on how we really welcome unannounced guests. And that's why it is written, Prabhupada writes also in the purport to the Chaitanya Charitamrita. He says, he was talking about his own house. Srila Prabhupada writes, according to Vedic principle, there must always be a guest in the householder's house. There must always be a guest. Now this is a news to me. In the house, in my childhood, I have actually seen my father receive not less than 4 guests every day, and in those days my father's income was not very great. Prabhupada is talking very practical, down to earth things, not lofty. Yeah? And he's saying, nonetheless, there was no difficulty in offering prasad at least to 4 guests every day. So this is what Prabhupada is, and this is not when Prabhupada was growing, it was in the early part of the 1900s, maybe 100 years ago. Right? So Prabhupada said that it is a duty, a house should always have a guest. And what is explained further is that it is not that we need to be under some pressure. Sometimes what happens that, oh well, you know, this person, when he served this sannyasi or this guest came, you know, he has a beautiful car and he can drive him in a beautiful car. We don't have such a beautiful car and my house is not that good. So sometimes we feel very, very, restricted. And we get into this unfortunate habit of comparing. He did it this way, I won't do it better than him. Because it doesn't remain just guest reception, but becomes a powerful way of just of showing, show off. And guest becomes a wonderful, victim of just showing off. And that's why it is explained that, you know, there is no material impediment in serving guests. And there's a beautiful verse, it is explained that how elaborately you can serve the guests can vary upon your means. So guest reception is a very, very practical, down-to-earth thing. It is not something very, very difficult. It is explained that in India, the custom is that whenever an ordinary person can offer a glass of water, when he comes, at least offer a glass of water. If you don't have a glass of water, at least offer a mat. If you don't have a mat, at least make him sit down on the floor with a namaskar and said, Hare Krishna, welcome, sit down. And he has explained that even if you can't do that, just repent And just with tears, he said, I'm sorry, I'm not able to serve you well. That's enough. With a genuine repentance of feeling that I'm not able to serve you well, that is enough to serve the guests. And in this regard, it's a beautiful story of what really is guest reception and how whatever means we have, we can serve the guests. This is a story from Mithila. But of course, Mithila during Krishna Leela. Krishna had two very special devotees in Mithila. One was Shrutadev and other was Bahulaswa. And they were both were very, very keen. They, oh my dear Lord, please come to our house. And Krishna suddenly decided, and not just alone, but with many, many sages. There were many, many sages which came with him. I said, let's go to Mithila. And Krishna did actually a long journey, as explained in the Bhagavatam, specifically in the 86th chapter, if you want to read it. Where there was a long journey Krishna made, and then finally reached, you know, Mithila. At the outskirts of Mithila, Krishna divided himself. Because he wanted to go to both the places. Now, interestingly, Shrutadev was a very, very poor Brahmana. And Bahulaswa was the king of Mithila. He was from the same, he was a descendant of Maharaj Janak. Both were very, very great devotees of the Lord. And Krishna came unannounced. He didn't tell them that I'm coming. He just informed them as he was close by that I'm coming. And they were very happy. So the king just welcomed him. And then he had huge pompous celebrations. You know, people playing bugles and people playing various instruments, elephants to welcome. And as Krishna and all the sages were walking, there were flower petals being thrown. It was a extremely pompous welcome ceremony that Shrutadev gave. Bahulaswa gave to Krishna and the sages. And then when the sages and Krishna came, then he had very, very special scented waters to just, you know, wash the feet and throw on everybody's head. And then he had the best of dancers dancing for the entertainment of Krishna. And then he personally was fanning Krishna. And he said, Krishna, I am so grateful that you have come. And then time came for a huge feast. And you can imagine the king, what sort of feast he must have served. He gave a very, very huge feast. And Krishna was thoroughly satisfied. Not by the pompous reception that he got. Not by the feast that he got. But by that amazing attitude of gratitude. It's explained. The attitude of gratitude that the king had. That Krishna is so kind of you that you have come here. Krishna loves gratitude. Krishna loves people to be kritagya. And we have been hearing today morning also from Govind Prabhu. The important part of kritagya. And you know, only a fool will not be grateful. That's why we say, if you are not grateful, you are a great fool. Right? So only a fool will not be grateful. So he was very grateful to Krishna. And then as the chapter explains, there were beautiful verses that he offered to Krishna. And then let's shift the camera to what's happening to this gentleman, Shrutadev. He is amazedly happy. He comes running himself. Oh, Krishna, you have come. And then, you know, he is alone. Of course, he and his wife. So he has this small pot. He's throwing water on the floor. And welcoming Krishna is nothing. It is not even scented, it is just plain water. And then he makes Krishna sit. And he is explained by Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur that he was so poor that he had only two mats for him and his wife. So when he saw so many sages and Krishna, he ran and got some mats from the neighboring places. Give me a mat, give me a mat, give me a mat. And so he all borrowed mats. He didn't have enough mat. So he put, and all the mats, one mat was of wood, one mat was straw, one mat was of some other. So it was not even what you call, you know, same looking standard. You know, sometimes when we come, we want to have the bed looking the same, the pillow cover and everything very, very nice. This gentleman didn't have that. He didn't have that opulence. He just put everything. And then he served, the wife was serving prasad. And he was so enthusiastic. He wanted to entertain Krishna while eating prasad. So he was serving prasad. He would serve and Krishna was eating. Then he would dance himself. Sweet devotion. Didn't have people to dance. He would dance himself. And there were flies coming. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur explains that he was dancing. He moved his cloth so the flies would be running. I won't take much time. But Krishna was equally happy with this. I said, I'm just so satisfied. And Krishna said, this is wonderful. You are given whatever maximum you have. And this king has given maximum what he has. This is guest reception. So what is important, what a point I wanted to drive is that guest reception, Atithi Devo Bhava, is all something that we can do within our means. We don't have to really go out of the way. And Krishna is satisfied with whatever best we have. So let us really get into this culture of guests, not only in our house, but when we're in the temples. Every single person entering the temple is a guest of Srila Prabhupada. He is a special recipient of Prabhupada's mercy. And let us really see this whole thing in this way. And that's what we are trying to, I think, develop a culture in this Bhaktivedanta manner. And not only in the manner, but the culture we tend to develop in the whole of our ISKCON society. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna.